So we're just going to invite you to do something a bit different and hopefully a bit fun this morning. I think it's fun. When I was in high school, I had a music teacher who had a profound influence on my life. So she taught me piano for 12 years. She was a non-Christian lady. And what I loved about her was that she actually challenged my understanding of myself and she challenged my understanding of the world. So one day she asked me to drive to her house, which is where I did the music lessons, using a different route. Obviously, this was when I was learning to drive. I have no sense of direction. So working out how to actually get to her house in a different way really threw me. But since that day, every day I tried to find, every lesson, I tried to find a different way to get to her house because it actually completely shifted me and how I was feeling and what I was doing at the time in preparation for that lesson. So in going out of our way this morning, what I'd actually like you to do, I'd invite you to do, is after you say hello to someone, ask them what they're interested in or something they like doing, sit somewhere else. Is that okay? It can be two seats down, it can be one row back, it can be on the opposite side of the building. But I just want you to experience that going out of your way and actually having a different mindset, a shift in perspective. Is that all right? Great. Go say hi to one another. Thank you. And I just encourage you to continue those conversations at morning tea. It's something that I really loved last week. When I was ready to keep saying things, it actually took a couple of minutes for people to stop having conversations, which is wonderful. It's such a sign of a healthy family and it's such a sign of a healthy church. Thank you for shifting your perspective for me. That's really amazing. Thank you so much. We are going to get into a passage in Luke now. I just felt drawn to this passage because as we are discussing more and more about outreach, this is just a really nice passage that kind of, Jesus gives us a couple of hints about what that might actually mean and what that might actually look like. So I'm going to invite Nadine to come up and read. And I actually thought of Nadine because I can't tell you the countless times where you've stood up here and shared your heart for loving and serving other people. So let's just honour Nadine as she comes up and she's going to read for us.
All right. Thank you. Reading from Luke 10, 25 to 37. I think it's up there too, but it's always good to have a new voice. So one day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him the question, "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him, do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn, where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." "Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbour to the man who was attacked by bandits?" Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same."
Thank you. There's just a couple of things that I wanted to chat about that stood out to me, but I also want to hear your thoughts. So just where we're sitting, I invite you to turn to a neighbour or two and just chat about what is Jesus telling us in this story about outreach. So I'll give you a second to think, and when you're ready, with the people around you, what is Jesus telling us about outreach? Anyone want to shout out and tell me who our neighbour is? Everyone? Everyone. Everyone's our neighbour. And one of the things that I love about Jesus is where he went to actually tell the story, because the whole world needed to hear his story, right? But where he went to tell his story was actually where, he often said, was where he needed to go. So where we need to go is actually where people need to know the story, the goodness, the love of God. Can I have the next slide, please? Thank you. The other thing that I noticed about this story is that love looked like something. So it was actually an action. It wasn't a feeling. The Samaritan actually loved this man by taking care of him and loving him to a fault. He put him on his own donkey. He sacrificed his own donkey so he had to walk to the inn. And he didn't expect anything in return. This man was clearly incapable of giving him anything back. It was purely just, I'm going to do this for you because I feel moved to, because I feel led to. And that's actually what that word means that's used in this story. The word compassion in the Greek, it's not often used in the Bible. And most of the time when it is used is when Jesus uses it. When Jesus is led, feels moved, and is led to help somebody. And it's the same word that's used, which Brad and I were laughing about during the week, because I kept saying the story of the prodigal son rather than the Samaritan when I was talking about what I was going to say this morning. And that's actually because there's quite a few similarities between the stories. The word compassion that's used in the story of the prodigal son is that same word when the father sees his son and runs to him when he actually returns to his father with nothing. So that's the same word that's in this story when the Samaritan sees the person by the side of the road. It's that same word, that feeling of love to go and help, that compassion, which can also be translated as pity or mercy or sorry. That's such a Jesus love word. Sorry, can you go back again, please? I also want to just come back to our vision statement again, which is the going out of our way to boldly demonstrate the goodness of God. I want to suggest that boldness isn't a thing that we kind of have to make ourselves do, that it's actually when we know who our Father is, when we're in relationship with him, when we're listening to him, boldness is actually a byproduct of that relationship. So when we believe that our Father is who he says he is and that he's saying what we think that he's saying, what we're hearing, then faith is the only response. Boldness is the only response. So it's not a try harder thing. It's actually, I'm doing things with my dad. And outreach changes lives. So this man's life was saved by this Samaritan. Sometimes I think that it's easy to just pass over giving someone a smile, or it's easy to pass over being conscious when you're at the checkout and you have the opportunity to have a conversation with someone or do something anywhere, anytime. But actually that could be something that changes someone's life. And Jesus isn't in the business of doing something without a reason. So if you feel led to do something, if you feel asked to do something, it's for a reason. And he's actually going to change that person's life because no encounter that you have with Jesus leaves you unchanged. And if you're partnering and moving and acting and working with Jesus, then you are changing someone else's life, even if to you it's just a smile. That's it. That's just what stood out to me. I hope that's helpful. Which leads us into just a quick recap of last week. I don't know if you were able to be here or if you weren't, but this is something that we're inviting you to personally, an opportunity to go out of our way to boldly demonstrate God's goodness. So they're outreach activities, which is really exciting because all it is doing something you love with other people. And we really encourage you to invite people from the church and people from outside the church to do it with you so that you can actually enjoy doing something fun, spending time with others, and think and pray about how you can actually love them like Jesus wants you to. Because that will change their lives and it will change yours. And it can be as simple as, for me, I really like anything creative. So I'm going to invite some people out to dinner and we're going to go to some kind of show. I don't know if it's an art show. I don't know if it's a musical. I don't know what it is. But that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to invite some people out to dinner and to go see a show. And then I'm going to pray about how I can love them while I'm there. Does that make sense? Yeah. And that's going to be fun for me. I'm going to love it. And I think that they will as well. I know that they will. All right. Let me get back to my schedule. All right. I have the great pleasure now to introduce... Not yet. I have the great pleasure to thank Tash. Can I do that? No. I have the great pleasure to read the slides, which say... Thanks, Brad. Which say... these are the things that we're inviting you into. So we've just popped that up there because we're actually going to spend time... We believe that this is actually a time where we can grow in hearing from God. So we're going to spend some time at the end of this service, as long as that's where Jesus is leading, of course, to actually spend some time praying about what might be an activity that interests you. That makes sense. Who you could invite to do that with you and how you can love them at that time. So we're going to create some time at the end to do that. And we're actually going to invite you to be a little bit bold and give you a sticky note and write your idea and stick it on the whiteboard. It's not to lock it in. It's not so other people can read it. It's not for any reason apart from just a way for you to go out your way and be bold. It's a prophetic step. It's not a lock-in contract. And it's not for anyone else. It's for you. Yes, please put your name on it. Yes. You don't have to. Thank you, Christina. Yeah. We do invite you to put your name on it because I actually would like to be praying for you. So the only people who are going to be reading it are Brad and I, and I would like to pray for you. And we would like to pray for you for any of these activities that you're doing, that people will feel the love and goodness of God. Can I invite people now? Thanks, Mark. All right, so now I have the great pleasure to introduce the Overflow Care Board, or some of them. So I'm going to invite up Brad and Sam, who's the chair of the board, and Christina. And as they come up, I'd also like to invite Tash, if she's still in the building, if she's not looking after little people. Yes. Can I have Ava? Can you grab the present that's up beside Shell, please? It's the black bag and the bunch of flowers, and you can take the flowers out of the jug, please. So this is just... Tash has recently finished up on the Overflow Care Board. You're amazing, Ava. So this is just something small that we wanted to give you to thank you for the time that you have served on our board.
So Tash, we just really want to appreciate your participation on the Overflow Care Board for the time that you did that, amongst everything else that you had going on in your life. So thank you so much for everything that you shared and contributed and chaired. Okay.
Amazing. So the other people, I thought it was worth mentioning, because I wasn't actually familiar who was on the board until I attended a meeting or two. So the board is actually made up of Sam, Susie or Suzanne, Nikki, Dave and Cheryl. I believe you prefer Suzanne, is that right? Susie. I thought I'd check. I've heard a couple of different ways. So these are the people who actually make up our board, which is wonderful. And they kind of help keep over... They don't kind of... They help keep Overflow Care working towards the mission, which is what it's all about. So Sam is our chair. And I just wanted to actually maybe start with Christina, who's been involved with some of the Overflow Care programs in the past. And I just wanted to ask you if you could tell us a little bit about what you've enjoyed about Overflow Care and working with Overflow Care.
Well, one of the things that I've enjoyed, firstly, is working with an awesome group of people here at the church, getting a chance to come close in a shared vision and passion with Brad and Chris and the other people that were involved in wanting to see something happen in our community through Overflow Care. And when it started, it was through the CAP Money course. I think it was 2015 we ran our first one, big one in the church here, and we had no idea what we were doing. It was like trying to tap dance and make it up as we went along because we were still learning ourselves. But we had a lot of fun and it was great to connect with people. And it just then grew into the job club and so many other things. But the thing that I've really enjoyed is the relationships with the people that we have been able to meet and come alongside and help, because a lot of those people were from the community. It was wonderful to work with beautiful people from our church community, but people from the community who didn't know anything about God, anything about how good He is, and didn't know that strangers wanted to love them where they were at and help them in a way that somebody else perhaps hadn't been willing to do. And we saw people transform and really learn that they had something valuable within them that they could use for employment, or that they could change their circumstances with their finances. And it was just beautiful to see how they grew, how they learnt that they were unique and special, but that someone cared. And I was talking to God about it, and something that I had totally forgotten about, He put in my mind, was that we met a grandmother in Tanilba Bay when we ran a very small 3-person job club down in Tanilba Bay. And this grandma was really struggling. She had very little money, massive expenses, and these very hungry grandchildren that she was trying to feed and manage their numerous emotional, physical needs. There was a lot going on. And other than helping her talk through some employment options and what she could do, we were able to also connect her with some local services and provide her with some food and some financial assistance. So we didn't just do the CAP money stuff, helping people with their budget, or the work skills training. We were able to find out what was going on in their lives and then help them in other practical ways. So, yeah, it's been a real blessing in so many ways.
Thanks, Christina. Just remember that lady, one day, because we did it over eight sessions over 4 weeks, and one session, she was the only one that turned up, so all the other 3 people didn't turn up. And she's sitting there, and we're going through it, and she's sitting there, she goes, what are you guys doing? You come all this way to Tanilba, you set up the whole gear, and like, I'm the only one here? Like, why do you do that? And just had the just felt God say, you're worth it. You're worth it. And it's, you know, worth it for the one. And it was generally, and I just love that's the heart of this church, just to overflow to the one.
That's so good. Thank you. Sam, I just want to acknowledge it's been a couple of years since that we've heard much about Overflow Care. Just with COVID, it was hard to kind of do face-to-face services. So we just want to remind ourselves of what the mission of Overflow Care is, please.
So if we could just throw that up. Can I have it on the back screen, guys? Thank you. So that's the vision statement, isn't it, that one? Enriching community, empowering people to enjoy life. I mean, if we think about even the Good Samaritan story we just heard, I mean, it's about going out of your way to boldly demonstrate God's goodness. This is really the heart of Overflow Care, is to do that as a charitable arm, you know, within the community, and that's what Overflow Care is all about. So obviously what Christine shared was one aspect of, you know, a way that we can do that. And if we could just put up the, have we got the mission statement as well? Joe, is that there? Got lost in translation.
It is there, but it's not coming out for some reason.
Let me pull it up on my phone. I'm going to... Providing quality training, practical support and creative facilitation to enrich our community and empower people to enjoy life. So, you know about the practical empowering people with skills, financial skills, helping them create good resumes and present themselves well to get a job. There are a couple of the practical ways that we're doing that. And facilitation. I mean, Brad, you might be able to just touch on the facilitation issue for us, could you?
Yeah, so I guess our thing is not just to be able to be the only place that helps people, but if we can help other organisations to flourish in the way that they help other people and make connections and relationships, that's really part of the heart of just connecting with the community services around the area and championing them as well.
You know, I just want to, as an example of someone that's always boldly gone out of their way, Anne-Marie Argent here in the front row, most of you know her, she's been here for a century or so, but she's been involved in Lions for that long, I'm telling you. I used to run a charity called Hunter Connect, which was helping families affected with autism because I had three boys on the autism spectrum. And we used to run events and the Lions are always there. They're always doing something to help in some way. And Anne-Marie's still involved with the Lions. And here I'm just talking to her just let's appreciate her. She's just amazing. She's just got that heart to help. And you know, we worked, we networked, we connected. I guess that's an example maybe of outreach in a sense. And it's just wonderful to see her heart still doing that. And she's still excited about, you know, being able to contribute, the Lions contributing money to help build or improve the skate park in Madawi, which is an awesome thing for the youth. So wonderful. Thank you, Anne-Marie, for your beautiful heart. And she's an example that we can be inspired by, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
So also, just because of Anne-Marie's love for the church and love for Lions, she also engaged a bunch of guys who came and have been working on our little playground out in the coffee court here. So they're coming back to finish that off shortly. But we just blessed Lions for investing in that and providing all the resources. They were, you know, just so generous.
While you have the microphone, Brad, I might just get you, because something that always has confused me is what is the relationship between Overflow Care and Overflow Church?
Yeah. So the reason why we have Overflow Care, and it's a separate incorporated association, it's a separate organisation, that's why we have to have a board so that we can be a registered, recognised charity with the Australian Charities and Not-for-Profit Corporation Commission. And the reason for having a separate organisation is that for a couple of reasons. One, it allows us to access some grants and funding that church organisations may not have access to. So being a kind of a separate, predominantly religious organisation, although we do have an MOU with the church that we are helping the church fulfil its vision and mission and sharing resources. But it just allows, I think, unfortunately, probably more than ever today, church is a barrier to a lot of other community service organisations and for a lot of people in our community. So having an Overflow Care organisation can help us connect with other community service organisations probably in ways that a church organisation couldn't. And also for some people who church is a barrier, if they've had a bad experience or just a bad kind of perception of what church is, coming and getting assistance from Overflow Care is a whole lot easier than coming to Overflow Church. So again, we're working hand in hand, but we just want to be, you know, all things to all people, or just have as many opportunities of connecting with community as we can.
Yeah, thank you. And we've experienced that when we've had meetings and we've called up places to ask if we can use some of their spaces. And just when you say Overflow Care or when you say outreach, people immediately go, oh yeah, that's great. Why don't you come and use our space? No charge. Thank you. Well, I just want to thank you so much as a board and for sharing that. And I might just ask Christina and Sam to briefly pray for us as a church, to just really press into and pray for how we can love others and demonstrate God's goodness as a church and as Overflow Care.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are love and you have created us to be love as well. Thank you that because Jesus is in us, we have the ability to show the kind of selfless love that he shows to us, to others. Father, we just ask as we're concentrating at the moment, focusing our minds and our hearts on outreaching and showing your goodness and your love to others, that you would open our eyes, open our hearts and our minds to what you are calling us to do, whether it be something really small or something not so small. But every act of love and kindness counts, no matter what it is. And so we just ask that you'll be speaking to us and that we will hear the invitation to step into something that will make a difference in another person's life. It might be someone that's quite close to us, or it might be someone, say, a neighbour in our street who we haven't really had a chance to get to know. So, Father, we just ask that you'll be with us, give us that boldness to not only hear what you're asking us to do, but to be bold enough to do something about it, to step out in faith, because you never call us to do anything that you don't equip us so that we can then do it. So we love you and we just want to show that same love to the people around us, because just like the Samaritan man, Lord, we don't know what it's going to look like. I'm sure he didn't expect to see that man who was from a different part of their community, one that he wouldn't normally engage with, but he just was prompted to show that mercy and love. So just, yeah, help us to be just as bold. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I just wonder if you could just hold your hands out, please. I just want you to receive right now. Lord, I just invite your Holy Spirit right now just to touch. And I just sense the Lord saying, just what have you got in your hand? What have you got? What resources do you have? What way can you use what he that I, as the Lord says, have already given you to go and bless others with? Lord, I just pray right now that you would anoint people just as they're holding their hands out. Just Holy Spirit, hover over and touch every person here with a new and a fresh empowerment of your Spirit to boldly just have a fresh insight and a revelation as to what you have given each of us that we can use to your glory, Lord, as we step out and to boldly go into someone else's world and make a difference in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you're done. Thanks. Brad, just a couple of minutes. We might just quickly let people know about what's coming up. Yep, I'll talk about Seed. So, Seed.
Well, I guess just leading into that. So, as far as Overflow Care goes, next year we'll be looking to offer job help if it's needed. We advertised that this year. The labour market's like super strong at the moment in terms of people wanting to find work. So there hasn't been a huge demand for people needing assistance. As those opportunities demand. And it might mean that we'd go to a Tanilba or Karoora or the Terrace where there are maybe more people who need that help with finding work. Also, helping people in financial difficulty, We've been working with Christians Against Poverty for many years now, and they're just re-engineering all of their services into a new service delivery model, and that's going to be launched in January next year. So we're going to be trained up and ready to use that as a vehicle of helping people improve their financial situations. But then the other question is, what else can we do? And that's what Jo's going to tell us a little bit about.
Yeah. So SEED is something that we're looking at doing this term. So SEED is just an approach or a method, I guess, just a way of us finding out a little bit more about the changing landscape that is Madawi. So we just want to acknowledge that Madawi has changed a lot over the past, well, it's changed a lot since the past 10 years that I've lived here. And it's changed even more over the past couple years since COVID. So we just want to get a better understanding of what our community actually needs. It can be really tempting as a church to go, I feel like our community needs a group for mothers, which would be amazing. I love groups for mothers. That's totally within my interest. But that might actually not be what we need. We might actually have 20 groups for mothers. So SEED actually allows us to have conversations with people in our community to find out what we have and what the gaps are. But the main thing that I love about SEED is actually every step of the way is Holy Spirit led. So the whole approach is about praying about what questions to ask people, who to invite to ask the questions, who to ask the questions to. And then, of course, the big thing at the end, which is this is what we have, these are the gaps. What is your dream for Madawi, Jesus, and what is our part as a church, and what is our part as Overflow Care in helping you fulfill that dream? So every step of the way is actually Jesus-led, which is probably my favourite part about it.
Yeah, so it's a kingdom approach rather than us telling the community what we want to do and getting them to support us. Find out what God's already at work at in the community. So to have a really structured conversation that we can use consistently and invite a whole bunch of people in the church to have a couple of conversations with people who have a heart for the community, have their finger on the pulse in the community, find out what's on their heart, what do they enjoy about the community, what's lacking, and then for us to sit down from that feedback and go, okay, what are the opportunities for us as Overflow Care? What could we do to meet needs in the community effectively? And what's the opportunities in Overflow Church that we could do? So it'd be really interesting. Who knows what's going to come out of it? But we just want to, just prayerfully. And that's going to be happening. Those conversations will be happening in December so that we've got the information to process through January, February as we lead into next year.
Yep, excellent. Thank you. So I'm just aware of time, and I really appreciate you sitting and listening and taking that all in. I hope that's helpful as a refresher of a bit about Overflow Care and about what that looks like for our church and for our community. But I do also not want to forsake anything else that God is doing. So we've just spent a bit of time talking about how we as a church can love people in our community, and I'd like to bring it back to how we as individuals can love people in our community. So I want to remind us again of the outreach activities. And I do think it's the right time for you to just have a second to spend with God. What is something that you like doing? I think that's all we're going to do today. What is something that you like doing? What is something that you'd like doing to spend time with God and to spend time with other people? We're not going to think of names today. We're not going to think of what it actually looks like. We're not going to put legs on it. We're just going to think of something that you love that you can share with others. And I just want to remind you that you're made in God's image and that the passions and the interests that you have are things that He shares and that He's placed in you. But actually that they're not unique and that they're meant to be spent in community and they're meant to be spent in family. So just for the last few minutes of our service, I'm going to invite you to think of an activity. I encourage you to be bold, to write it on your sticky note with your name if you're comfortable. And then we're going to come out and we're going to stick it on the board. Not so that other people can see it, because they won't be able to, trust me. No one's eyes are that good. Plus, my handwriting's a mess. No one else would be able to read it. It's not, no one else is going to read it. It's not a locking contract. It's not a commitment. It's just for you to prophetically say that you want to be bold, that you want to say yes to Jesus, and that you want to spend time loving Him and loving other people. So when you're ready, I just invite you to do that. We're just going to have some music play. Thank you so much for being here this morning. This place is what it is because of you, and I appreciate you. And then once you're done, you're released to go feed your stomach. Yay!
You're wonderful and such a good father. Help me to love. Help me to love with open arms like you do. A love that erases all the lines and sees the truth. Oh, that when they look in my eyes, they would see you. Even in justice, they would feel.